Podcast. What's up, everybody?
I was trying to catch that. Damn it.
Here, I'll just do it again.
It actually did catch it on the on the YouTube section. It did catch it.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool.
Yeah. How's it going, Thursday Warriors? It is
oh my god.
Thursday.
Huge news, John. Huge news.
Yeah.
109 subscribers.
Yeah, we got 3 of them right before we started.
97 last week. 97. Maria comes on. That's the biggest jump that we've had after having a guest come on. 12 new people. So to everybody that subscribed, thank you. Make sure you hit the bell to get the reminders when we come on, even though it's the same time every week. And then tell all your friends about it, because we're amazing and you're amazing and we like to do amazing here.
Well, so Scott sent out the e-blast today, and the tagline was, "Do you know that we had one of these?" And the very first thing is the podcast.
Nice.
Because a lot of people forget, or like they've heard us talk about it, they didn't really know.
But
a lot of people have been checking it out. I hope it continues to grow.
Me too.
I'm very excited about it. And it's a little nuts. I did some cleaning today. I put all my rearranged that side of the room.
Oh, nice. Nice. I didn't know you played guitar.
What? Shut up.
I'm just
I was gonna say, like, don't make me like freaking Pete Townshend it on you.
Oh man, I would be okay with that.
Just wham. All right, well, I'm John. This is Tim. It's Thursday night.
Thanks.
It's 8-ish, and we're
and you're on the Thursday Warriors.
Yes. Yes. Welcome. Welcome. And it's going to be a good time this week. We got some comics to talk about. We're going to catch you up on Boba Fett, and then because we haven't gotten to do this yet, we're going to talk about Peacemaker, which I don't know if Tim's actually watched. But I've watched the first two
episodes. I know there's a new episode that came out today, right?
Today, yeah.
So I have to watch the third episode and the fourth episode, but I watched the first two episodes. And without giving anything away, because we're going to do it later. And then we need to talk about that Moon Knight trailer.
Oh, yeah. We got to do that, too.
Yeah.
Actually, let's start off with that. Just
okay.
Let's spice it up a bit. So,
all right.
So I was talking to Dan Hanna, a little bit about this the other day, and we were both like, man, this thing is really great. And they were like, except for the Ragman scene. I don't ever remember his suit doing that. But other than that, I thought it was freaking awesome.
Like, and for all we know, too, because of all the mental parts of it, that might not even be like, that could be
real?
In his head happening. Yeah.
Right.
Because I've heard people explain that because I loved all of it except for the glowing eyes. I thought the brightness of them made it look a little fake, because it kind of reminded me of the lightning bolt that Shazam had.
It was a little bit Iron Man-y. Like,
That's
like
exactly.
But then I'm like, so I've been rewatching the MCU in MCU timeline order, right?
Uh-huh.
So I just finished Iron Man 3, and there are scenes, especially the first scene where he ever wears Mark 1, and the first thing you see in this darkness is just the eyes kick on, and I'm just like, okay, that can also be creepy. Like, that it was kind of like a cool homage to that, but also a kind of a cool
there's a lot of people cool way to online do it. We're speculating that might be some kind of a fever dream, and this is the Moon Knight that's haunting him, and that's why it has that like creepy eye look with the glowing eyes. Hopefully that's it. Maybe you just need to get to see a little bit more of it, but man, Oscar Isaac is going to be so good in that.
Yep. It's going to be great.
This is going to 100% make up for his apocalypse.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely making up for Apocalypse and the second-rate Han Solo we got as Poe Dameron. So,
like, imagine saying that. Oh, man, Moon Knight is going to be cooler than Apocalypse. And it's like, is that the Marvel right. effect? Is it the Fox effect? Or is it a little bit of both?
So I'm going to probably say it's a little bit of both. But
I think so, too.
Yeah, you know, I definitely feel it could be worse. So
yeah.
But yeah, I definitely thought it was good. I like the fact that they're focusing on like the split personality idea. Because some runs focused on it a lot, some of them didn't. Like the Mark Spector run did not do that a lot. Vengeance did. The Bendis run definitely did. The Warren Ellis run definitely did.
I was just gonna say when I saw Khonshu with like the bird head, immediately I thought of Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey's run, and when Declan drew him sitting in the chair with the staff, and I'm like, you know, there's gonna be a lot that they're gonna pull from, but that run was so good, and I feel like that brought Moon Knight back into the fold for a lot of people. So in the same way that the Fraction run was great for Hawkeye, I feel like if they pull from that run, that's going to be really great for a lot of people because of how modern it is. So I think we're going to see Mr. Knight too. I feel like if they're going to go to all these, there's a chance you see Mr. Knight.
That would be awesome.
I'm very excited. And so, the sad news that's attached to that, by the way.
Agreed.
Sad.
What was this character's name? Midnight Man?
Midnight Man. The guy that was playing Midnight Man, he died the other day in a skiing accident. Sad. It's very sad.
It's just real crazy to think like here you are. We're pushing your new big thing that you're going to blow up in. And, you know, if something like this happens, it sucks.
Yeah.
So, but... yeah. So anyway, if you haven't seen the trailer, go see it. It's awesome. Make sure you watch the full trailer. And
yeah, I have some information too for anybody that's been on Graded Comic Watch, the Tim and Carl saga. I have some news in regards to that. So last time we spoke, John was nice enough to talk to somebody and say, "Hey, you know, can you check this out?" And I got my books back yesterday. Finally. So thank you John and everybody, and that concludes the drama.
That will not work for everyone, by the way. Because I very specifically said an employee of mine in there.
Yes. And so. I went through every avenue. Obviously I waited 11 months before I even thought to ask you for help. I tried so hard, and I get that they're busy, but
Tim, you're welcome. Carl, you're welcome.
I'm so glad to have my books back.
Hopefully it's good.
Yes.
So, do we want to do the announcement of the $100 store credit?
Yes, we do.
We promised you guys once we hit 100, we were going to give you something cool. Here we are. $100 store credit is going to, whenever you're ready,
Nick Weiser, I believe is how you pronounce it. Nick Weiser, I'll type it below. Nick Weiser is the winner of a $100 gift certificate to New Dimension Comics.
Usable in-store only, but you can use it at any of our 6 stores. So,
we'll have to reach out just in case he's not watching. I think we can click on his name in the YouTube stuff and message him. So
yeah, we can make that work.
But congrats and thanks everybody for subscribing. Like, this is getting big and we're really enjoying it, and the guests are loving it. You saw how much fun Maria had last week just talking and everybody interacting. So yeah
we're very, very excited that it keeps rolling. We're so excited that our boss Todd asked to come back on the podcast, and I went, oh,
and then I went, the guy,
and then I went, all right, it is named after him. He's only been on it twice in like 4 years that it's actually been going on. Well, more than that, it's been going on since technically, like the audio version was like 7 years ago. Like, so, but the much better upgraded video version is only like a year old. So, we're much, much more happy with that. And I think it, I think a lot more people like to randomly look at our ugly face. I mean, pretty faces.
Yes.
So, or at least they like to look at your, I'm guessing, living room, dining room area and my man cave. So
it is, this is the steps to my 500 square foot home. No, I'm just kidding.
And those are the steps to the downstairs or the main floor of my home.
What people don't know is this stairs right here, if I were to walk up them, I would be in John's upstairs.
Hey, hey. I mean,
I have a Krakoan gate at the top of the steps that takes me to John's house. There's a wormhole
that just
yes,
right, right,
yeah.
So, speaking of store stuff real quick, don't want to forget to mention, first Saturday of February is Cranberry's anniversary sale. So make sure you guys come up there. Discounts on graphic novels, trades, back issues, toys, games, some other stuff. But come up, hang out. It's going to be a good time. And, the other thing that I wanted to mention was that the Waterfront is looking for a part-time person. So
yes, we are.
If you are interested in working part-time for me through Chip, Tim, and Tim, and being part of our crazy team of yahoos and weirdos, let us know. You can send your resume to waterfront@ndcomics.com.
We want to know a lot of things. You don't have to be perfect or have supreme knowledge of all things, but a little mix is going to be great. And if you know a good bit of magic, that's going to help also, because we could use some help in that area as well. So send your resume over.
I spoke with Chip yesterday, and we're kind of going to let this run for a couple weeks. So we're going to probably do interviews around the second week of February.
Okay.
So, so guys, just so you know, that's going to be happening. But if you're interested, part-time, just let us know. Your resume does not have to have everything super, super crazy on it. Like, it doesn't have to just be nerd stuff. You could be an astrophysicist and we would still look at your thing. We're just going to hire the best person for it. We don't really care what you look like, who you are. Yeah. As long as you can function, like whoever looks like they're going to function the best is going to get this job.
If you're time traveling Hitler, though, just we don't want you. Like, if you're no. Yeah. But anybody else, roughly.
Fair. Fair. Yeah. I'll take Time Lincoln any day of the week. So, now let's talk about comics. I'm going to go first this week because I want to talk about Better Than Spider-Man. I really, really enjoyed this book. DeMatteis was killing it with the writing. It's very the return to like an angsty Spider-Man, except that it's Ben, not Peter. So Peter and MJ have moved to Portland. Ben is now the Spider-Man in the universe. And this has a lot of self-reflection where he just kind of is realizing he's got some demons. He talks to Carrion. Carrion's got some inner demons, obviously, because that's kind of his deal. And Carrion kind of asks him for help and just kind of shows him what was wrong. And you find out that Carrion's mom had died, and that's why the Carrion side took over versus the like his regular human side. And then they kind of get like a tour of what's going on in Ravencroft. The one doctor at Ravencroft kind of wants to be his either friend or therapist. I think we're going to probably see them become a couple. I don't know if it's too early to say that, but I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. You see Ben like being a bartender, which is kind of in, like a way more interesting job, I think, than Peter working at the Bugle or at Horizon or at Stark or at Parker Labs or whatever freaking lab he's working at. And then at the end, you see Matt Gargan show back up. Well, might not be Gargan. It's a Scorpion. I don't remember if he's the current Scorpion or not. But it is, this book was super good. Very, very awesome. And I recommend it. Yeah. So
I think the thing I like with Ben Reilly, especially with this run going from Amazing Spider-Man into this, was how they keep hitting on this, like, yeah, he's essentially Peter Parker because he's a clone, but like how that's weighing on him because Peter has already done some amazing things. So Ben just needs to go out there and be himself and do those things, but he gets in his own head and tries to push to this greatness, and that ultimately leads him to fall along the way a lot. And right. I think that's a pretty interesting take, because they could just as easily be like, he's a clone and he's just as great as Spider-Man and here's all his fun stuff that he does, you know?
Right. So I thought it was cool that it kind of showed you like what he's been up to, like where he's like, I went to like Europe and Asia and I traveled the world, yeah, and all this other stuff. The only thing that I thought was good and bad was the art. So the art is very dark, which is the good part of it. But there are some parts, there are just some things where I'm like, oh, like I just don't know if I like how that's drawn. But it's almost like a Botticelli style, but not
I was going to say it had like that cartoony kind of look in the facial expressions that reminded me of like the early Umberto Ramos before he really refined it.
Yeah, with
the
current, yeah, Spider-Man. That's a good, yeah, that's probably a good, yeah, comparison. It's like a not quite as refined Ramos.
Yeah, that's the fun thing. They work, they get better. You go back and look at like Umberto Ramos when he did the Human Torch mini.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, oh, I don't really want to read this. This is, I don't like it that much. But right. I can't share my stuff because I'm
B-locked. Oh, wait, sorry. My bad.
It's all right.
Hold on.
It's all right.
There you go. Now you can.
All right. Wow, that's really easy.
I got that with the quickness. Damn.
My first book. So I told John I was going to do something, and now I'm switching it up, and it's going to be a surprise. Is Aerosmith?
Oh, the music book. I almost did this too.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to do it, and then I saw the team, and I'm like, oh, I love these two guys together. They've right. done a lot of stuff together, Avengers Forever, you know.
Yep.
So it was funny because I was looking up the 1-in-25 variant on eBay, and at the same time, no lie, we have one of the Aerosmith albums playing in the store, and I keep typing in, you know, Aerosmith number 1-in-25, and I'm getting no results. I'm like, is this book so unpopular, or there's no buzz that nobody cares? And then I noticed I spelled it Aerosmith like the band, because the band was playing. So right. this is very interesting. This is in 1916. It's World War One. This follows Fletcher Aerosmith. Basically, the idea is that all of those dogfights that are famous in World War One have been replaced with airborne dragon fights.
That's awesome.
What happens? Yeah. What happens is, everybody has a dragon. There's wizards and stuff that exist. And the dragon kind of comes on and like gets very close to you. You can see they're not very big. And then they say this magic spell, and it transfers the dragon's powers of flight to the people. Oh. As long as the dragon stays with them. So they're literally, yeah, instead of in planes doing the dogfights, they're flying around looking for the enemies and fighting in the air just by flying. And dragons shooting fire at the other people and stuff like that. And I thought that was a really interesting idea. It's very fun the way that Busick writes this from the point of view of Aerosmith's journal, recapping all these things, was very nice touch because it gave you like that authentic, like, this is a soldier kind of writing, you know, his thoughts down in his privacy. Some really interesting characters. This is Rocky, and he is a troll, and he is helping out the Brits. Fletcher Aerosmith is from Connecticut. He's from the United States helping out the Brits. This was a really cool exchange. This was a couple years, or it was during a break. Everybody was getting breaks. So if you're like, oh, hey, you know, trying to think how I was going to say that. You've been fighting a long time. We're going to let you have a leave for a little bit, bring in fresh troops. And that way you can recoup, because it's not going to help us if you're dragging your feet and stuff, which doesn't seem like war at all. So he goes to the pub and he meets Rocky, and they're kind of catching up. And the other soldiers are like, hey, there's no trolls allowed in this pub. And Fletcher beats the crap out of them.
Nice.
I don't want to give away too much. There's some fun fights that happen. There's some fun characters. The idea is really fun. So I'm interested to see, especially after where it ended in the first book, this first issue, I'm very interested to see what the second issue is like. So just think of all the different things that you've learned in school or that you watched on your own about World War One, and put in trolls and wizards and dragons, and then think about it again. And it's a fun book. So
that's awesome. All right.
That was my worst review ever. My throat's all dry and I just
That's all right. I'm like bagging books as like you're talking, because I'm like, I need to do that. And I'm like, I can't not do that. So
you need to do that,
If you guys, if you guys hear like tape ripping and bags moving, that's me. And I'm really sorry if you're listening to this in audio only, because that has to suck. All right. My next book is Star Wars High Republic Eye of the Storm, number one.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I almost put this book down after the first scene, because it was all like exposition and over talk. And it didn't finally pick up for me until toward the end, because I still don't really know what's going on. I think the idea is that this planet has some kind of vortex in it that creates this crazy storm. And they kind of have to fight off these bad guys, and the guys that do it call themselves Storm Riders, or as I like to call them, Riders on the Storm. And then they're like, they talk about how they don't want to get involved with Jedi or Sith, but then at the end you see this like crazy weird vortex of Sith and other stuff. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm gonna probably have to read it again. I really like the art though. But it was like, for a Charles Soule book, I was expecting it to be a little more catching right off the bat, and it didn't quite hit that for me. So
I can tell you from what I have learned with the High Republic stuff so far and the Charles Soule stuff, is that there's so much that's unknown that they do start very slow, which I don't think works in their favor a lot, but having stuck with it, it does, they do get good. The regular series is good. The novels are good. It's almost just like they feel this need to almost over explain to set things up, because we don't know anything about this world. And I would rather just thrust me right in there, let me, you know, see what it's like, than give me that slow route. And to do it from book, the main book, to each of the minis that they've done, it's just making them go a little bit slower. It's worth it to hang on. I haven't read this one yet, but I've read the other ones, and they do get good. So
So, hoping for
the best. A nice cover. That Ryan Brown cover was really nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So, this book is, I'm about to say a naughty word. This book is so dang messed up. King of Spies, number two. This was last week. Oh, the first one was so amazing. The first one was so awesome. And I can't believe that this one was better. It was even better. It was so good. So if you remember, this is Roland. He's a spy. He's been a spy. He's like, you know, James Bond in his 60s. And he gets cancer and he has 6 months to live. And he's going to go back. And all the people that he's helped gain things in the world and that have made the world a shitty place, he's going to go kill them all and try to right all the wrongs. It opens up with, if you remember, we had that that scene in his past where he was being chased through Panama by these people that were trying to kill him. And he ends up mutilating some of them. I think there was an explosion or something that ended up cutting this one in half. So it's kind of like a little bit of foreshadowing. Hey, don't forget about these people. They're going to come into play later. But it quickly turns to him killing people. Here's him taking down the drug kingpin in the House of Lords and a human trafficker who lives next to the queen and this pedophile pop star. And they just kind of hit like boom, 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 like all these different people that he's taking out real quick, showing that like this is not going to be a slow book. He's really going to be moving fast to try and make up for all these things because he doesn't know, you know, is it 6 months or is it going to be shorter? And then it cuts to this scene, and this is Lucas Bell. He's an assassin. And Roland has worked with him before. And this assassin is interesting because he has cut his eyes out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because he has a fish scar on his eye.
No, he has mutilated himself and blinded himself. And the reason, I guess, is to avoid distractions. So I guess a daredevil-esque kind of thing where he can hear things and feel the wind and stuff. It's a little weird, but cool.
It's, okay.
Mark Miller's very good with coming up with these quirky kind of characters like that. And so he hires Lucas. He's like, I need you to help me kill these guys. He's like, hey, man, we've done a lot together. I'll help you out. So they kill these two people, really bad people, and then Roland says thanks dude and then blows up the building that he's in because he and I was like, oh, this is so effed up. He hired this guy to help him, but he knows that this guy has also helped other people the way that Roland has, and he's like, so now that you've done this for me, I couldn't have done this without you, this hit, now I have to kill you. And he blows him up. His son falls down there, busts his head open and dies. Lucas is like, how can you do this to me? Like we've been through a lot together. He chops off Lucas's hand, to use it to get into like a storage facility where they have all kinds of different tech and weapons and stuff so he can continue his hunt. And it cuts to, Roland, has a son who is also kind of a James Bond-ish kind of guy. He's younger, but more of like on the evil side and a dick.
Okay.
And he's being hired to kill his dad. They're like, we need to take your dad down. We know this is him that's killing everybody. We can't get a hold of him to stop him. We're trying to. It cuts to the next scene and Roland is on a plane. And he's got, I think it's the vice president or somebody with a gun to their head, kills him, jumps out the plane blows up. And one of the bodyguards is like, just like doing like the nosedive right at him and grabs onto Roland's ankle. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I got to get this guy off my, you know, before I can open like my chute. And he sees this helicopter So he's like, well, let's inch over this way. And then boom, brings him right into the path of a helicopter. And it just rips up this bodyguard and just like just destroys him. So, which Mark Miller is really great at those kind of things. Also kick ass, obviously Nemesis. He can get very dark. So it moves along the same pace as the first book. And it's very quick, a lot of fun. Not very wordy, more like just here's some awesome artwork. And he's letting Matteo Scalera kind of just take the reins and tell the story visually as much as he can. And if you didn't pick this up after the first one, you're insane to not pick it up after the second one. I know Dan and Ron picked it up after I talked about it the first time. This is, yeah, it's amazing. It's an awesome book. So
that's awesome.
I've been waiting for something like this from him for a while since he signed that deal with Netflix. And I thought Magic Order was going to be that, and it just didn't happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah, well, he's got time. He's still got that contract going, so.
Yeah.
All right. My last book. Whoops. Not that. My bad. That's the chat. God, this.
Hey, you
these
know
things
what?
Sometimes look the same. There we go. Much better.
But you think, at least it's not any other screen. It's not like, uh-oh.
Whoops. What was porn. That on your screen? Whoops. I mean, wait, what? Yeah. I mean, I'm not taught. So, but anyway. So She-Hulk 1 came out this week, and this was my book of the week, man. Like, this was really, really good. It starts off with her just kind of walking down the street like, oh crap, I gotta go to this job interview. Like, I'm such an, like, I have so many Avenger used ID cards and I don't really have a job. Like, she's kind of hit, like, she pictured herself before she would have been the Hulk to be a partner in a law firm by then. You know, she's really kind of down on herself, and she runs into Titania, who's married to Crusher Creel. And Titania just basically like picks a fight with her in the street just because Titania wants to have a fight, pretty much. Like Jen starts like taking off her clothes. Like, she takes off her shoes, she takes off her skirt, that she puts like her jacket on like a lamppost, and then she hulks out. It's like, what the hell? And she's like, it was my last dress. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it was my last dress. So she goes on, they have their fight. They realize that they both just want to have some like just time to fight each other, just to get some stress out. So they decide to meet up in like a vacant parking lot someday to just do that. And Tim, you're on mute.
Oh man, I can't believe I coughed. I muted myself to cough. Yeah. And then I'm over here singing Girls Just Want to Have Fun the whole time. Okay. Like very softly while you're talking. I'm just kind of
well, I eventually like looked over and I was like, oh, he's saying stuff. I should probably tell him he's on mute. So
I was like,
right. So
nobody heard it.
After they agree with this, like, She-Hulk jams the stop sign that Titania tried to beat her with back in the hole. And she goes on to her interview, which is basically like in a closet, which is awful. And then she doesn't have a place to live. So the Wasp lends her the old apartment that she used a while ago. And I'm pretty sure this is the apartment that she was borrowing when it was the Charles Soule run. And the Wasp was just like, if you need anything, let me know. If you need some money, it's cool. You left all your clothes here, blah, blah, blah. And she's just kind of like, no, it's cool. Thanks, Jan, whatever. So she leaves and she's just kind of like, all right, this is awesome. And then she opens up the closet and she's like, oh yeah, all my clothes are here. And then she takes a bubble bath because she's the She-Hulk and she loves it. And then all of a sudden the door rings, or there's like a noise at the door, and she runs out, and who does she find there but the Jack of Hearts? Dun dun dun. Because we haven't really, we really have not really seen him since Avengers Disassembled, right?
Disassembled,
I think we
yeah.
saw him like, I think he came back for like one thing, but it wasn't anything crazy. But I really, really, really like this book. It has a good vibe of, oh yeah.
I mean,
like if you,
thick.
Yeah. I actually, and I got the Scotty Young one too, because I thought that was
cool. Nice.
But the, like, if you liked She-Hulk before she was like super PTSD She-Hulk, this is the vibe that I think they're going with. Like, so like the Charles Soule stuff.
Yeah.
Like the, all the Peter David stuff and everybody, all the 90s stuff was like hugely like that. I think they're trying to get her back to being more personable and friendly for the show when it comes out.
Was she the one that, I'm trying to remember, in Avengers Disassembled, she didn't kill Jack of Hearts, but she was there and he was going to blow up. He was self-destructing. Yeah. So she witnessed it, and then she just flipped out and she went feral and she killed somebody else, I thought. I thought she killed somebody. Hawkeye was killed by Scarlet Witch. Or was Hawkeye killed?
I can't remember. It's been a long time. But
yeah, so
book.
This is, it's very significant that he shows up at the end, being that she was there in his final moments before he was blown up. So,
and like I said, I think he showed up in something random. Like, it might have been like when they did the Chaos War stuff, when all the dead guys came back, because like Thunderbird came back, a bunch of the Alpha Flight guys came back, and then Alpha Flight actually stayed back. And like there were all those Madrox dupes that came back. That was cool. I'm really digging it. So go for it.
I wasn't cutting you off. I was just getting it set up. You could have kept going if you had more.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
This is the 10 Lives of Wolverine. This is the first major kind of event since in the post-Hickman X-Men world. So I'm very interested to see how this goes, because outside of Inferno, the gala was good when they did the reveal in Planet Size, and Ten of Swords was not that great. So it'll be interesting to see what this team can do with these events. But essentially, what we're getting is Wolverine is being sent back in time. They're not super clear on it. I think they're trying to leave a little bit of mystery. He's being sent back in time to stop somebody from killing Professor X and all these different lives that Wolverine has lived.
So is that like Omega Red pre-Adamantium stuff?
Well, that's what I thought. So it's like, oh, well, you know, we got Omega Red showing up, and he's the one that's Charles Xavier's being born, and this guy shows up. He's the gardener, apparently, not Omega Red, and he's trying to kill Charles Xavier. Now, go back real quick to the X-Men stuff way early on. Omega Red was thrown down in the hole because he was killing people. So he wasn't supposed to be coming out or getting out at any time. So we'll have to see what's going on there. But what we're actually getting is, this is Omega Red. If you see the reflection in the mirror, you can see he's just possessing these people's bodies and then trying to get the deed done of killing Professor X. So, you know, they kind of lead you on a little bit that it's, you know, somebody like maybe a different version of Omega Red. Turns out it's just the Omega Red that was thrown down in the pit. They have a flashback or maybe like a different scene where he snags gold balls I forget what his new name is now, but Gold Balls, who is one of the five that is part of the Resurrection Protocol team, and takes him out. And he is looking on the computer for something to do with that. Is it called Carbadium? The synthesizer that he needs to help keep him from being hungry and having to feed on people. I think it's called a Carbadium synthesizer. And he doesn't like the information that he sees. We don't know how he's getting into the past as well. We just know that he is. We go to this scene where after Wolverine stops him in that life, and you see how Wolverine got there. And what happens is Jean and Professor X are together with Wolverine, and they put this helmet on Wolverine. And they're using this Cerebro connection between the three of them, it looks like, to send Wolverine back into the past. And the first thing I thought of was Bryan Singer's Days of Future Past.
I was just going to say that.
And I hate it. The book is great. I thought the story was fun. There's a lot of mystery there that's going to keep me reading it. Hate this part because I don't want anything that's ever going to make me think of Bryan Singer's X-Men, because I hate it so much. I hate him so much. He's a terrible person. Dave might be right. It might have been Sabretooth that was thrown in the hole. I think you might be right. There was a story with vampires with Omega Red. So that might be, really? Yeah, vampires. So,
okay.
It's a fun book. The artwork is fantastic. This is the guy that was doing X-Force. This is the team from X-Force. So Benjamin Percy and the artist that was on it as well. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But the artwork's gorgeous. The story was a lot of fun, and there's enough mystery there to make you want to come back and read some more. It's going to alternate. It's five issues. It's the 10 lives of Wolverine, and then the 10 deaths of Wolverine part one, and then the 10 lives number two, and then deaths two, and so on. So it'll be a culminating in 10 issues, but five per mini. So we'll see where it goes. Kind of reminds me of how they did House and House of X Powers 10.
Alternating, right, because there's like 10 total books.
Yeah. Right. And 10 total lives. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, we have talked about a lot of comics today.
Yeah.
Actually, we're doing pretty good on time, too. All right. So, your Boba Fett follow-up for this week. I really like this show. Like, I know you weren't like a super fan when it started out. I don't know if your opinion has changed, but I really still like it. Like,
which episode really are we talking about? Three or four?
Four.
Okay, because we didn't talk about three. So, quick off the top, what did you?
I don't think
about
we talked
three?
About two. To be honest with you,
I don't remember if we did or not.
But overall, up to now, I thought every episode got better. It really reminds me of Dances with Wolves. And I like it. Like, I think it's fine. I think for something that I want to enjoy in the Star Wars universe, this is a really good show. As not someone who's like the most super hardcore fan, like, you know, like, I don't own every single book. I don't own every comic. I don't own five versions of each movie. Like, I'm happy to just watch them and enjoy them as they are. I think this show's a lot of fun. So.
The third episode I thought was god awful. And it was the lowest rated episode of between Boba Fett and the two seasons of Mandalorian. It was the lowest rated episode of all of them. episode three, that is. It didn't really fit well. I mean, when you think about like all the famous races throughout Star Wars, and you think about the chases on speeders, that chase scene, chasing down the mayor's like right hand guy on those Vespas, it felt very slow, and it looked kind of cheesy. I didn't feel like it had the same speed, the same tone as other things that we've seen. But I thought back to something, thinking about the things that I don't like about this show. And I remember sometime last summer, or maybe it was spring, John Favreau had put out a statement, and he just said, "Disney, can you please just let us do Star Wars and leave us alone?" So I'm wondering, now that Mandalorian was a success, is Disney getting too involved? And maybe that's throwing this off the trail a little bit from what Mandalorian is. Because if you go and watch the first three episodes of Mando season one and the first three episodes of Boba Fett, there's no comparison. Mandalorian, and I don't care about Mandalorians really at all. Mandalorian show made me care about them. I liked them a little bit from watching the Clone Wars cartoon, but didn't necessarily care about them. And then watching the Mandalorian show, I was just blown away. And doesn't really stack up as far as like show for show.
I'm going to say this as a controversial thing that,
okay,
like, I don't believe it, but someone said it and I went, oh, maybe. So someone was complaining that, or that was someone who I was talking to was comparing them. And they basically said, had this show had a Baby Yoda in it, like our Baby Yoda thing where kids and moms and like the non-traditional Star Wars fan can latch on to, it would be as popular as Mandalorian. Because if you take the Baby Yoda part out of Mandalorian season one, especially, that show was pretty boring for the first like three or four episodes outside of the firefights.
I can see that, because you took characters that are very dark and secretive, and all of a sudden he finds his child, and now you're watching this guy that from these people that nobody knows anything about really, and he's learning to care for somebody else, you know. So yeah, I think for sure if you take Baby Yoda out, then there's a lot of elements that don't happen in Mandalorian, and then ends up making it a little bit boring. But that's the thing.
Is our Baby Yoda going to be the? But is our Baby Yoda going to be the baby Rancor?
The Rancor. That was the best part of any of the episodes so far. I liked the baby Rancor. I liked getting to know that, like, they bond with their owner, and it's the first person they see. At first, I'm thinking like, he's tricking him. Like, he's going to take these blinders off, and like this Rancor is going to attack him, and he wasn't tricking him. This is a real gift for you, and I thought that was really cool. It gave some depth to a character that to a monster that everybody likes, you know. So the fourth episode was better than the third episode, but ultimately I feel like the flashbacks are what's ruining the show. Because I get that every time he gets in, he's being rejuvenated. He's having these flashbacks of the past. And it's like, here's all the trauma I went through, and I'm mentally healing as I'm physically healing. But there's too many of them. And I feel like had they limited those and even made them even smaller snippets, maybe more of the main story, that this would have a better flow. I feel like by the time we're done, if you separate it after six episodes and say, take all of the flashbacks and put them aside, the main story is probably pretty good. But I feel like the flashbacks slow it down.
See, I thought all the flashbacks lent to part of the story. Like, I feel that we're going to, like, at the end of this, it's going to be that the mayor was the guy that actually was the same problem person he had before, and we're gonna see him with a baby Rancor and an army of sand people whooping a whole lot of ass at the end. Yeah. So, and we got what? Four episodes left?
Two episodes left.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been in love with it, but I'm watching it.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Like, I enjoy it for what it is. I'm not like, holy crap, this is awesome.
I'm glad they killed the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that. I'm glad that we're past a lot of this stuff so we can stop talking about, like, is he alive? Is he not alive? Because that was one of the more annoying things about Boba Fett, is the different fandoms arguing about it. And it's like, Well, if you're going by canon, no, he wasn't. You know, now he is. So let's move on and tell me a good story. And that's what I was talking about with the flashbacks. But I would like to point out something I was talking to Carl about, is the Spice Runners, right?
Yeah.
So if you're running this smuggling operation and you're landing down on a planet that is completely made of desert, why would you land somewhere and take a train when you could just land there? You're smugglers.
I don't think it's that. Well, so the train is a bullet train and it's going through the wastelands versus flying your ship into a place where you have to get clearance to dock and they may check your ship. So my guess is they were taking the train to like Tashi Station and then they were breaking it apart onto smaller things that they could weasel into all the towns versus having to like fly a ship in and having to get it checked by people every time. It's probably easier.
I would believe that and be okay with that if we had not seen many instances in the past in other movies and things where it's just like, oh, I really hope this ID card works. And it's like, all right, ship, what's your cargo? And it's like, oh, what's your number? And they're like, 3251. They're like, hold on a second. They check the computer and it's like, it did go through. Hold on, let me try again. And then it's green. Okay, you're clear for landing. Like, I feel like that happens a lot in Star Wars. So it sets the precedence that they could probably get a code, because if the good guys can do that, then the bad guys definitely can do that, because money talks.
We'll also think about that all of those towns are run by mobsters. So if they know who you are and you try to fly in with that ship, it's probably going to be harder for you to land.
Probably. Either way, I thought that was a little weird.
I do understand your side, though. Like, I bet you there's somewhere in a gray area of a mix. But I get both sides.
Black Chrysanthemum has been amazing. All the scenes that he has been in, and the fact that, like, he let him go. The Hutts were like, he's our tribute. And he's like, well, set him free then. And then you just see him hanging out at the bar. He's causing a scene. Flashdance comes over and she's like, hey, I'll forgive your debt if you just stop this. And then you just see the guy get tossed and an arm falls down next to it. And I'm like, that's awesome. And then Boba Fett, obviously, you know, like hiring him. I thought also that the thing that didn't seem to fit the biker gang, not the biker gang, but the Vespa gang, the ones that have been modified, those scenes seem very odd. The choice of music in them as well, it gave me a Blade Runner feel, kind of, and less of a Star Wars feel. So it felt very out of place, especially for Tatooine. Like, if it was another planet, maybe, but like, the things that are going on and stuff, it felt a little out of place. But maybe that's the whole point of it, is that this is this corner that we have that's away from everybody else, and we're just kind of doing our thing, and you don't want to be here. Like, leave us alone. So I don't know. Overall, like, this is probably like one of my least favorite Star Wars things since episode 8. So. Yeah, but I'm not a Boba Fett fan. I'm giving it a shot, and I'm going to keep watching, and I'm going to keep an open mind, and I'm very hopeful that by the end they will do something that will make me excited for season two. We did get a little bit of that Mando music at the end of that.
I thought we were not. This was a one shot season only, is what I was told.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
So. But we did get a little bit of Mando music at the end.
Maybe it'll lead into the Book of Dr. Aphra. So.
Maybe. I mean, they're definitely introducing some characters that I think will be staying around long term for future things. So, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
We'll see what happens. Dan said he wants to get some power converters.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And now we'll talk about Peacemaker.
Yeah.
So when I watched Suicide Squad, I really felt this character was annoying as hell. Like, really, really annoying.
Uh-huh.
This show has very much so corrected a lot of that. While he is a total a-hole and very much so like just a total dick, and the person that I like, the people that I hated growing up in high school, the fact that you can tell that he's sort of changing and sort of getting it as all this crazy shit happens totally makes it okay for me. So I'm really enjoying the show. I think it's really good. I did not like, however, that they basically turned Vigilante into Deadpool.
They did.
And I was like,
but you know what? They need something. And right now, I know, but I'm just like, I get it. Changing characters to try to appeal to the audience rather than finding a character that fits that and fits the audience is very annoying.
Right.
But at the same time, at least it's not this character that's super well loved and super popular. They picked a guy kind of like they did with Peacemaker, and they said, we could literally do anything we want to do with this guy because nobody really knows that much. And they did. And I really, really, really want to taste it.
Because
song says.
Do you really, 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 really want to taste it? Yes. By the way, that opening sequence.
It's fantastic. The dance number.
I can't not watch it the whole way through. It's just so bad and funny, and it's great. So
it's very stiff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all the dance
almost
moves.
Macarena style.
Yeah. It's like I'm watching like just like somebody like step by step learn, like at an old folks home, do the Macarena.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
But if you like I think it's because it's a lot less gratuitous violence than it was in the movie. Like that movie was like every 30 seconds somebody was blowing up. Not something, somebody. This is much better paced than anything that I've seen James Gunn do for both Marvel and DC, in my opinion.
I think it's interesting that you have his dad, who is clearly a racist.
Yeah.
But there's not this big outcry from people because they're saying, yeah, he's a racist, he's a piece of shit, and everybody else knows he's a piece of shit. So it's a character. And I feel like sometimes that stuff happens and there's this out like, why would you have that guy be a racist in the show or something like that? And that's awful. But, you know, being a racist is awful, is what I'm saying. But it's interesting that they did that in a way that works because he doesn't want to be like his dad. He has that conversation with the janitor. And the janitor's like, oh, you're a racist superhero. He's like, I'm not racist. He's like, yeah, you're killing black people all the time. He's like, I kill white people too. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, maybe if you watched white people as much as you watched other people, you'd see them do more things wrong and you'd kill those people. And I thought that was really funny and interesting and very on point with like things in the world today. So I guess kudos for them for trying that and trying to get like sort of a message out there and not being afraid to do it, because I think it worked for the show in a way that didn't seem like disrespectful to other people. You know,
I agree. I think that was the thing, like it worked to where it was not overbearing, but it also wasn't crossing too many lines. Right. Yeah. like it kind of crosses lines, but then it backtracks to kind of be like, well, we really didn't either. We really didn't cross the line, or we, it, this is why we crossed that line.
Yeah. And we hit it just right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're having the same thing as me. I'm trying to like say it the right way without saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And,
right. Right.
And I think everybody gets it. So
right.
What we're trying to,
cause
say.
Like, cause like, you know, I mean, it's very much so like got the Deadpool vibe to me.
Yeah.
Like in general, like, so if you like the Deadpool movies, you'll like this. Cause it's just got that kind of attitude behind it. But I just really, I like the fact that like Amanda Waller's daughter has never shot anybody or killed anybody.
Yeah.
And she's put on this team with like psychopaths, you know? I liked that he gets hugged
by an eagle.
Yeah. I love Eagly. Eagly's amazing.
He's like, and I think there's enough,
right. I love that there's like enough stupid shit in there that it makes it less of a problem to have those like the conversations about his dad being a giant racist and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like it's more along, or it's saying like some people may be racist, but they also may actually have like something good to put into society. Cause like, his dad's a mega racist, but he's also the dude who makes all this tech. So yeah. It's like,
man, that other side of you really sucks.
I can work like, with you. Doesn't mean I need to like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of a thing. But
I think the scene with him in his underwear, having the fight scene.
Yeah.
Was hilarious.
Yeah.
He comes out of the bathroom, he's scratching himself. And I just thought that fight was a lot of fun, but him in his underwear and he's listening to, is it Cinderella he's listening to? Or
yeah. Dan and I were talking about how we're like, we had all those records or have all those records. I was like, Firehouse, fuck yeah.
But how about those veins? They creep me out.
Yeah.
It just looks like snakes under his skin.
He's got to be like 50, right? 45
early 40s, I think. Hold on. Let me look. I'll look
it up. All right, you're gonna look it up.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, because like,
he's 44.
Okay, so he's 4 years older than me. I wish I looked that good.
Yeah,
never gonna happen.
I love you just the way you are.
Thanks.
It's if you haven't watched it. Anybody that's listening, you should absolutely watch it. It's a lot of fun. And it's something fun from DC that I can watch. You know, mm-hmm. They're screwing up Batman. They're screwing up Superman. Wonder Woman sucks. Flash is probably going to blow. But give me more of the, if you're going to do crappy characters that nobody really knows about and make them cool, then I'll watch those.
If you like the weird humor in this show, you will like Doom Patrol, just so you know. Like, for those of you who have never watched Doom Patrol, like, if you like the show and you want to get, you know, watch something else to kill time before the next season, once the season's over, check out Doom Patrol. It's very, very good.
If you watched Titans first and you saw the Doom Patrol in that episode of Titans and you thought, if this is what Doom Patrol is, then I don't want to watch it, it's not. Titan sucks. Doom Patrol does not. So
yes, agreed, wholeheartedly. Yeah. So
Doom Patrol cool. Getting a fight with butts.
I know, butts with feet and teeth.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That's the over the top stuff that I've wanted from Umbrella Academy in the first two seasons that you get in the comics. But I have not gotten the show because they're like Netflix budget. And when Netflix goes over the top on their budget, Cowboy Bebop, then it just gets canceled after a season. Because, yes, a lot of people were complaining about it. But we also know the budget for that thing was over the top. And they probably didn't want to put that much money into a second season.
Right.
So.
Yeah. All right.
Man, good week. Good week. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. We jammed all of that into like an hour. That's crazy. A little we over did. An hour. Good job. Good job, Tim. Good job. Good job, team.
This book, by the way.
There you go.
If you haven't, if nobody's reading Hulk, pick it up. There's some really good stuff that Donny Cates is doing in here. It's a lot of fun. So I would check that out for sure. Try to think of some other books that were of note this week.
This graphic novel is amazing. Yeah.
What's the artist? That's the one that did the Harley Quinn.
The book's called Fine Print. It's by Steven Sedgwick. Yep. It is it's kind of like it's very similar vein to Sunstone, but it's like Angels and Demons.
Yeah. So,
which by the way, Sunstone also freaking awesome. Swingers also freaking awesome.
I thought that was a sequel or something to Sunstone because they have a very similar look.
Well, it's his style, but
yeah, even the logo I thought was very similar. So it always made me think that maybe that it was a sequel, but good to know that it's standalone.
So. Oh, and also in my random rewatch of the Marvel Universe, I am reminded of two things. One, Elon Musk was totally in Iron Man 2 for 30 seconds.
Wow, I did not know that.
He's in the Morocco scene, and he sees me. He's like, "Oh, hey, Elon!" And he's like, "Hey, I got this great idea for an electric jet." And he's like, "Oh, cool. We'll talk about it later." And then, that's the whole scene. And the other thing is the many tendrils of the Thor universe, because I've watched 1 and 2 right now.
There's two different ones.
Yeah, so it's Josh Dallas who was on.
Once
Upon a Time. Yeah. And Manifest,
and then,
which is also
and then
a great
Shazam.
Show. And then it was Zach Levi Dark World. And I'm like, oh my God, you're so bad as Fendrel, but you're so good as Shazam.
They did a really good job of making both of those guys look very similar to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. They layered the facial hair right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also funny to watch, like, the slow progression of Hemsworth's facial hair and hair be less and less dyed blonde and more of his like dirty blonde brownish, like light brown hair. Like, it's just really funny to watch that progression. So my biggest curiosity though is going to be, will they put the TV shows, like the Disney Plus shows, in there in this timeline as I watch stuff? I mean, I'm not anywhere near where the first one will be, because the first one will be I guess technically the first one would be WandaVision, so I'm still like way out because I just finished Iron Man 3.
I think I saw a timeline out there. I'll see if I can find it and I'll post it on the page, but if anybody else has one and wants to send it to me, send it to me so I can put that up. But I think there's a timeline that has everything all the way up through the last TV, through Hawkeye, listed in the timeline. Right. So
that'd be I also will say that as I'm rewatching these, both Iron Man 2 and or Iron Man 3 and Thor 2, which are very bottom tier for me, I still very much so enjoyed them. I may have enjoyed them a little more than what I did before. I don't know why. It might be watching them in this chronological is different. It's kind of interesting to not do it in release order, so but it made sense. It actually made a lot more sense for the Tesseract story at the beginning, and then you know, when you're in Dark World and you're like, holy shit, this is the first movie where we fought somebody that was powered by an Infinity Stone, like that was kind of cool. And then we're going to get it again in Guardians 1, and then, well, technically we got it in Avengers, because he technically had the Mind Stone in the staff.
You think Thanos was coming back?
I do.
I do too.
So this is why I think Eternals was important and no one paid attention, is because Thanos is an Eternal. He's a he's a technically a deviant, but you know, the Titans are are also, they're all been retconned as Eternals. So, yeah. You know, he just woke up in a different body somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's a good chance that he'll be back. Maybe it won't be that same version.
Yeah. But I also think now that we have Star Fox, it's going to be, we want to see those two fight it out at some point.
I love that he called him Star Fox too first. He's like, he's like Star Fox.
The Prince of Titan, the brother of Thanos, Star Fox.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So.
Sweet.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for watching, and we will...
That's a good week.
Check everybody next week.
To Nick Weiser. We'll reach out to you, Nick. Or if you watch this later, send us a message. But we'll reach out to you. We'll get you your thing.
Also, don't forget, we need to name our new segment for next week, which will be where I deep dive into some random terrible character and talk about it or 3 minutes. So
I'll think this week too. I'll send you some ideas, but
So if you guys want to hit us up on like Twitter or Facebook, do that and send us some names for that segment. That would be freaking awesome. And you know, follow us on social media as well, because there's not really a lot of traffic on there, or else we would do more with it. So if you guys start posting more stuff or asking questions, we'll do that. Or if you guys ever have any questions for us specifically, please feel free to post them up and we'll try to answer them for the next week. We also have the Pittsburgh Avengers coming up. Probably early February. And then we'll probably have Todd the week after that. We have a small press creator from Canada. I just received his book in the mail. So after I read it, I'm going to let Tim read it and then we'll have him on the show. So probably February is probably going to be a little bit loaded with random people. So, cool.
All right, guys.
Catch you later, dudes. Bye-bye.